Good morning, everybody. I want to announce that today's share is sponsored by Rachel Steiner in loving memory of her dear husbands, Mark Steiner, Mordechai Yehuda ben Ephraim, Zichrono Livracha. Again, I just want to add that Mark was a personal friend of mine, as well as many, many people in this room, or your husbands, or the like. And he was a wonderful person, a brilliant mind, and a person of a kind, empathetic heart, full of perception and full of goodwill towards every type of Jew. And he was one of the early korbanos in Corona, kind of at the very beginning of the epidemic. And, you know, we hope and we know that he has a wonderful share in Olam Haba. And we thank Rachel, and she should be comforted with all of the mourners of Tzion and Yerushalayim. And B'ezras Hashem, we hope that the Magefa will be coming to an end soon, and there should be good health for all of Klal Yisrael, and really all of the world. So, Yihi Zichrei Baruch. The topic I'm going to talk about today, obviously, we're coming to Pesach, it's very, very near, and I'm going to talk about a topic that I think often people do not really discuss, because it's at the end of the Seder, and that is, one has to understand that in the mitzvah of the Seder, there's actually two different chiyuvim of recitation. One mitzvah is the mitzvah of Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim, to talk about the Exodus, and that is derived from the pasuk, V'higadeta levincha v'yomahu lemor, you shall tell your child on that day. Making all of this ceremony to remember what God did for me when he took me out of Mitzrayim. And that is one of the 613 mitzvahs of the Torah. That is the mitzvah of Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim. And the reason the book is called Haggadah is because it is based on the verse, V'higadeta Levincha. And the Gemara even raises the question, if I look at that pasuk literally, that would only apply if I have a child to whom I'm narrating. How do I even know that I'm a mechuyav if I don't have a child? So the Gemara has a drasha to say that you're even mechuyav when you're by yourself. So levincha is lavdafka, or as the Sifrei Chassidus like to say, you have to speak to the inner child within yourself, meaning every Jew has to have the quality of youthfulness and enthusiasm and the like. So higadeta levincha is you're speaking to your child. Now that is the mitzvah of Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim, and that is derived from the pasuk v'higadeta levincha. However, there's another chiyuv, which is really a separate chiyuv, and that is a chiyuv to recite Hallel, Leil Seder. Now the recitation of Hallel b'Leil Seder is not in itself a da'oraisa, but the Gemara does derive it from a pasuk in the book of Malachim. You may recall that one of the great miracles that is recorded in the book of Malachim was when Sancheirav, the king of Assyria, after he had exiled the 10 tribes, he turned his troops, he turned his army towards Yerushalayim. And the king of Yehuda at that time was Chizkiyahu, was a very righteous king. But Sancheirav's army was so big and so powerful that the odds for the Jewish people to be menatzeach were virtually minimal, minus a miracle. And a great nace happened that night. And according to Chazal, it doesn't say it in the book of Malachim, that was also the night of Pesach. But 180,000 soldiers of Sancheirav's army died in a magefa. That's one of the great, great miracles that occurred in our history. And once again, even though the pasuk in Malachim does not say that it happened Leil Pesach, Chazal had a Mesira that also happened Leil Pesach. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu told Chizkiyahu, Hashir Yiyalachem Kaleil Hiskadesh HaChag. The song of thanksgiving that you will give because of this miracle will be like the song that you sing for the holiday of Pesach. So the Gemara says the implication is that there is a Hallel for Leil Pesach. So if you have to think about it this way, you know, it's all in the book that's called the Haggadah, But there's really two different mitzvos that are operating here. There is the mitzvah d'oraisa of Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim, which we fulfill by the Magid, and then we do our eating and the like. And then there is the mitzvah d'rabbanan of Hallel, which is an absolute chiyuv. Now, again, it's important to remember this, that Hallel is a chiyuv. I mean, I know, and sometimes even Orthodox people, if they're not that knowledgeable, they kind of think that the Seder is essentially over after you bench. You eat the afikomen and you bench. And they look at the Hallel after the Seder the same way they would look at Chad Gadya and Echad Miyodeya. Now, Chad Gadya and Echad Miyodeya are beautiful songs, and certainly they should be sung. It's a Minag Yisrael. But yeah, Chad Gadya, Echad Miyodeya, Adir Hu, Kilo Noeh, these are not chiyuvim. So if a person were to conk out without saying Chad Gadya, he would be Yitzeh. But the Hallel after Birkas HaMazon is not like a Chad Gadya optional type of thing. It is a Chiyuv Gomor that one must say Hallel. We pass, and this is true for men and for women. Ideally, it should be sung. It's a little difficult to connect to in some ways because we're not allowed to be mafsik, so we're not allowed to explain or offer commentaries. But still, it's a very moving Hallel. And the Hallel is connected, I gave another drasha, it's connected to the Messianic redemption, that it's not just referring to Yetzias Mitzrayim, but it's also referring to the Geula HaAsida. And therefore, there is a certain Messianic tone and aspiration in the Hallel after the Suda, which is said on the fourth cup. But again, I want to point out, these are two different mitzvos. There is the mitzvah of Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim, and there is the mitzvah of the recitation of Hallel. Now, the recitation of Hallel, Leil Seder, is very unusual in a lot of ways. It doesn't really match the recitation of Hallel on Yom Tov, even on Pesach itself. Number one, we say it be a Shiva. We're sitting down, as opposed to every other Hallel that is always said Ba'amida. Number two, normally, when you recite Hallel, you make a bracha before Hallel. Bracha ta Hashem Elokeinu Melech Olam, Asher Kiddushanu B'mitzvosav V'tzivanu. So our gersa is Likro Esa Hallel, and some have a gersa Ligmor Esa Hallel. So machlokes Rishayim, what the gersa is, but either way, Hallel is a mitzvah d'rabbanan at least, and Hallel should have a bracha. And yet, for Leil Seder, we do not recite a bracha rishayna on Hallel. We have the after bracha of Hallel, melech mehulal batishbachos, which I will get to, but we don't have the before bracha. That's the second unusual point. The third unusual point is the bifurcation of the Hallel into two sections, because you will recall that the first two chapters of Hallel, Hallelujah Avdei Hashem and B'tzeis Yisrael Mimitzrayim, they are recited at the end of Magid before the drinking of the second cup. And then we have rachza, we wash our hands, we eat matzah, moror, korech, a whole meal, afikomen, birkas hamazayim, and then we open up the door for Eliyahu HaNavi, that's the connection to Mashiach. And then we say the rest of Hallel, starting from Lo Lanu. In other words, the Hallel is bifurcated by the Seuda. So we really see three anomalies in the Hallel of Leil Pesach. Number one, Yeshiva versus Amida. Number two, there is no Bracha Rishona. And number three, the Hallel is split into two unequal sections. The first two chapters recited as part of the Magid before the second cup, and the remaining chapters are recited after the Seuda. So the Rishayim point out that the Hallel of Leil Pesach is very different. Let's first focus on the second question. Why is there no Bracha Rishayna on Hallel? So there's actually three reasons that are given, more than that, but I'll give you three reasons that are given why there is no bracha rishayna for the Hallel of Leil Seder. Reason number one is the very fact that you're bifurcating the Hallel. Again, I'll get to why we do that, but if you separate the Hallel into two different pieces and you're not doing a consecutive Hallel, that is actually a hefsek. That is a kind of break. And therefore, you don't want to recite the bracha because the bracha would only be going on the first two chapters because then you have a break. It wouldn't go on the rest of Hallel. And since the bracha must go on all of Hallel and you're going to have a break of the Suda, it is not shayach to make a bracha. Again, that doesn't explain why there is a break. I'll get to that a little later. But given the reality that there's a break, some learn you can't make a bracha because then the bracha could not go on what you're going to be saying after the break, and therefore it can't go on all of Hallel, therefore you don't say the bracha. That is reason number one. Reason number two is actually very, very interesting. Maseches Seferim, which is a compendium of teachings based on the Tanoim and Amoraim, but really it was not compiled until the time of the Gaonim, records a minhag that in addition to Hallel at the Seder, Hallel was recited in the Beis HaKnesses for Ma'ariv. Right? This is a minhag that is recorded in Maseches Sofrim. In Eretz Yisrael, it happens to be a very common minhag, even among Ashkenazim, that Hallel is recited in the Beis HaKnesses for Arvis. In Chutz La'aretz, among Ashkenazim, it's a little less common. Most Ashkenazic kehilos do not recite Hallel. Chassidim do. But in Eretz Yisrael, I think you'll find even many, many Ashkenazic kehilos do. And this is based on Maseches Seferim. And Maseches Seferim says, since you made a bracha on the Hallel Bebeis Knesset, that will cover the Hallel of Leil Seder. There is no need to make another bracha Leil Seder. Now, this is a very, very amazing proposition because this actually says that the only reason you don't make the bracha Leil Seder is because you already made the bracha Bebeis HaKnesses. But that's only going to be true for the people who said Hallel Bebeis HaKnesses. The Ashkenazim that do not say Hallel Bebeis HaKnesses, and probably women who generally did not go to shul for Arvis. So the Chayra, according to Maseches Seferim, it would turn out that anyone that did not say Hallel Bebeis HaKnesses, or even if they said Hallel, if they didn't make the bracha Bebeis HaKnesses, should have to make the bracha Leil Seder. Now, that's not our minhag. That is not our practice. Our practice is that even if you didn't say Hallel Bebeis HaKnesses, you do not make the bracha at the Seder because we have the other reasons. Right? I already gave you one other reason because of the Hefsek Suda, and I'll give you a third reason. But according to Maseches Seferim, at least, it would turn out that there would be a Chiyuv bracha for those who did not say Hallel Bebeis HaKnesses. Now, the third reason is brought down by the Ran in the name of Rav Hai Gaon, the last and perhaps the greatest of all of the Gaonim. And it's actually a very, very fascinating reason, and it's a bit enigmatic. I'll give you the Lashon, and then we'll try to explain it in some way. Rav Hai Gaon says, we do not make a bracha on the Hallel B'Leil Seder, She'ein anu omrim osa b'tayras kriya. We do not say the Hallel as a mitzvah of recitation. Ella b'toras shira. We say the Hallel as a form of song. And the Hallel of shira does not have a bracha. It is only the Hallel of kriya that has a bracha. And that is why we do not recite a bracha on the Haggadah of Leil Seder. Now, the question is, what does this mean? What is the Hallel of Kriya and what is the Hallel of Shira? And what exactly would the difference be? So the way the Mefarshim explain Rav Chai Gaon, they say the Hallel of Kriya is commemoration, right? The mitzvah of Hallel is that when Hashem has done miracles for us, like Hanukkah, we are supposed to commemorate the miracles that Hashem did by Hallel. Hallel is giving gratitude for those miracles. But Pesach night, Leil Pesach, we are not commemorating Geula. We are supposed to be experiencing it. That's what the Haggadah says. Each person must regard himself as if they were taken out of Mitzrayim personally. So Shira is the spontaneous gratitude that a person feels when they are directly benefiting from a nes. In other words, let's imagine the very first Hallel of Yetzias Mitzrayim. Now, whether they said David HaMelech's words with Ruach HaKodesh or their own words, they were not thanking God because there's a mitzvah to thank God. They were thanking God because that is the spontaneous outpouring of a person experiencing redemption. And Rav Chai Gaon says that the nature of Hallel B'Leil Pesach is not to thank Hashem for what he did in the past, but to actually experience a redemption. And that is Shira, that is the spontaneous outburst of song. Again, whether you sing it or not is another matter. Shira does not mean singing, although it is brought down that there's an inyan to say Hallel B'Nigun, to sing it. But Shira is kind of the poetic expression of spontaneous gratitude. So B'Kitzer, we have three different reasons why we do not recite a bracha rishona on the Hallel of Leil Pesach. One is because it is interrupted by the meal. The other is if you read it in shul, you already made the bracha, which of course would mean that some people would have to make a bracha at the Seder. And the third reason is that this is not a commemorative Hallel, which is the mitzvah of Hallel. This is an experiential Hallel of Shira. And on experientially feeling spontaneous gratitude, there is no bracha because it's not a mitzvah, so to speak. It's an experience. It's a chavaya. And for that, there is no bracha, right? So this explains the reason why there is no bracha rishona on Hallel. Why we have an after bracha, I will get to a little later on. Now, we have two more questions. Why we do it yeshiva, why we do it while we're sitting down, and why we bifurcate two kapitlach before the second cup and the rest of Hallel after the meal, really one could give a common answer. First of all, it's brought down that the bifurcation of Hallel is because the first two chapters of Hallel refer to Yetzias Mitzrayim, Betzeis Yisrael mi Mitzrayim. The last chapters of Hallel is referring to Mashiach and Gula Hasida. So we actually bifurcate to highlight the idea that the last part of Hallel, which is the larger half of it, is our emuna in Bias HaMashiach, which is why we introduce it with opening the door for Eliyahu HaNavi, who will be the person who will be, or the Malach, who will be announcing the coming of Mashiach. And that's also Eliyahu's cup. It's not that he drinks from it so much. He does come to the Seder, but the cup is in honor of his role in announcing Mashiach. And when Mashiach comes, we will all drink a fifth cup. I'll talk about the fifth cup as manazah in a few moments. So the bifurcation is connected to the chiluk between past and future. The first two chapters are Shevach for Yetzias Mitzrayim, and the last chapters are Emuna B'Bias HaMashiach Sheyavo Bimheira V'Yameinu Al Yidei Eliyahu HaNavi, announcing it. Why are we mafsik with the Suda? Well, that's the bifurcation. Now, the other aspect of it, which also explains the yeshiva, which this explanation did not explain why you sit, is the Netziv writes that for a Jew, we have a principle, Shulchan Domeh L'Mizbeach. A Jewish table that has a meal in honor of Hashem with brachos and with mitzvos, in itself is an altar to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And especially Leil Seder, where we're eating the Korban Pesach, or at least where we're reminiscing, we're connecting to it, but Bizman HaMikdash, we would eat the Korban Pesach. That is a chelek of the praise of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So instead of looking at it like we say Hallel and then we eat, we regard the eating itself as a hamshacha, as a continuation of Hallel. And therefore, in a sense, it's not a complete break. Hallel, meal, Hallel, the meal itself is a hamshacha of Hallel. Because for a Jew, we sanctify God not only in ruchnias, not only by spiritual activities, but we sanctify God even by eating and drinking. And since we are utilizing the meal as a chelek of the Hallel, the meal as a chelek of the Hallel, and in a meal you sit down, so the whole Hallel has the characteristic of yeshiva, because it is the Hallel of a Sa'uda, and not just the Hallel of the recitation of Tehillim. Right? So that kind of explains the different anomalies of Hallel B'Leil Seder. Now, I want to discuss another aspect of the structure of Hallel that is very, very confusing to people. And in fact, if you're sitting around your Seder table and you have different Haggadahs, not everybody has the same Haggadah, there may be some disagreement as to what they. In a regular Hallel, we have a bracha rishona, which again, Leil Seder we don't have, granted. And then we say Hallel. And at the end of Hallel, we have a paragraph, which is the bracha acharona of Hallel, which is Yehallelucha, right? We should praise you, b'chol amcha beis Yisrael, yodu, vivorchu, vishabchu, right? We should give thanks, we should bless you. And we said, ki lecha no'el lehodos, because to you it is fitting to offer praise, u'lishimcha no'el lezamer, and to your name we should sing, ki me'olam v'ad olam ha'kel, because you are our God for eternity. And we end, baruch atah Hashem, melech mehulal batishbachos. In other words, Hallel has a bracha rishayna, and then there's a bracha acharayna, yahallelucha, which ends with melech mehulal batishbachos. Now, if you look in the Haggadah, you're going to see a little bit of a confusion. We finish the Hallel, and Hallel ends with Hodu Lashem Ki Tov Ki Li Olam Chasto, Hodu Lashem Ki Tov Ki Li Olam Chasto. But then, after that point, you're going to see a bewildering variety of minhagim. Again, this may be a little difficult unless you have a Haggadah or you have a very good liturgical memory. But let me mention some of the main alternatives that you're going to see. According to some minhagim, you immediately say the paragraph of Yahalalucha, but you're not chosem. You say, ki me'olam v'ad olam ata keil. You don't say, do not say, baruch atah Hashem, melech mehulal batishbachos. So you say the Yahalalucha paragraph, and you don't say, melech mehulal batishbachos. Then you say, Hallel Haggadol. This is Tehillim 126, which we say every Shabbos. Hodu Lashem Kitov, and it goes through 26 statements about how Hashem's chesed is so good. And it ends, no saying lechem lechol basar. He gives bread, sustenance to all flesh. Ki li olam chasto. Hodu lekel ha-shamayim. Give thanks to God. Ki li olam chasto. Now that capital of Tehillim is called Hallel HaGadol. Regular Hallel is called Hallel HaMitzri, because although it's in Tehillim, it was first said by the Jewish people at the time of Yetziat Mitzrayim. Capital Kuf Chaf Vav is called Hallel HaGadol. Now the Gemara asks the obvious kasha, Hallel HaGadol is katan. Hallel HaGadol is much shorter than Hallel HaMitzri. So why do you call Kuf Chafav Halel HaGadol. So the Gemara explains in Arvei Pesachim that Gadol does not mean the longer Halel, but Gadol means the greater Halel. Halel HaGadol is even greater than Halel HaMitzri. What is so great about Halel HaGadol? So the Gemara says, the line, Nosein Lechem L'chol Basar. Gadol Parnasa Yoser Min HaGa'ula. Halel HaMitzri talks about redemption. Hashem took us out of Mitzrayim, B'tzeis Yisrael Min Mitzrayim. But Nosein Lechem L'chol Basar is the daily maintenance of every creature, not only humans, but animals and birds and insects and worms. Hashem gives Parnasa, and Parnasa is even greater than redemption. And Nosein Lechem L'chol Basar, which is Parnasa, is the greatest of all Shevach. And the Maral explains, why is Parnasa greater than Geula? Because Geula is a one-time thing. Hashem does a dramatic miracle. It's beautiful. It's dramatic. It's something we'll always remember. But sometimes the daily grinding maintenance of keeping things going is much more significant than the dramatic, miraculous gesture. And there's a deeper understanding as well. The Gemara gives a story. It's a very fascinating idea. The Gemara gives a story about a man who tragically lost his wife, and he had young children. He had young children that were nursing from his wife. And his wife died, and he was so poor, he could not afford a nurse. So Hashem made a miracle that he was able to nurse his children. A man was able to nurse his children. So there's an interesting discussion in the Gemara. According to one opinion said, what a great man, what a great tzaddik he must have been, that Hashem made such a supernatural miracle that he could nurse his children. And the other Mandi Amar said, how bad it was that he forced God to change my separations, to change the natural order to accommodate him. Meaning to say, a supernatural miracle is not always so great. Now, let me explain why. If you think about this, Hashem created a natural order, and the natural order is the way things normally operate. A miracle actually reflects an imperfection in God's creation that can only be rectified by interfering with that creation and changing it. It's as if God has to break the glass. So a miracle, this is a very strange and a very deep idea, but the Maral says this, a miracle actually reveals a certain imperfection in God's Bria. So although miracles are a Kiddush Hashem, they show the greatness of God, there is in a miracle, okay, this is again a very subtle idea, but there is in a miracle a certain Chilul Hashem, that God's name is being desecrated because the miracle reveals an imperfection or crack in the creation. In other words, in some ways, it would have been a bigger Kiddush Hashem had the guy won a lottery and would be able to hire a nurse, or that a neighbor, a kind-hearted neighbor volunteered, because then HaKadosh Baruch Hu is operating through nature. And that means there is perfection in the natural order. When Hashem must deviate from nature, that implies an imperfection in the natural order. So the Maral says, going back to Halel HaGadol, Nosein Lechem L'chol Basar, which is how God operates through nature, that humans have their food and animals have their food and people get jobs and people earn money and kollel checks come in, whatever the parnasa is. Hashem is working through the normal events, not supernatural miracles. That is even greater than Geula. So again, I don't want to lose the main point. You finished Hallel HaMitzri. This is minhag number one. After you finish Hallel HaMitzri, you say the paragraph Yahallelucha that ends the Hallel, but you do not say Melech Mehulal Batishbachos, Baruchat Hashem. You then say Hallel HaGadol. You then say Nishmas, that we say on Shabbos, and you go all the way till Yishtabach, and you say Yishtabach. And in minhag number one, you are chosem with Yishtabach. Brachos vados me'atav yadolam brachato Hashem. Kael melech gadol batishbachos. Kael ha'odaos adona niflaos. Habocher b'shirei zimra melech kael chei ha'olamim. So in minhag number one, you say the paragraph of Yahallelucha after Hallel HaMitzri, but you're not Chosem. You're not Chosem. You then say Hallel HaGadol. You then say Nishmas. And the Chasima, right before the fourth cup, is the Chasima of Yishtabach. So that is minhag number one, that you're Chosem b'Yishtabach. The chasima of Hallel, and then you drink the fourth cup, is your chosem b'yishtabach. There is, however, a minhag number two. And in fact, minhag number two is actually the predominant minhag of Ashkenazim, although different Haggadahs will say it differently. And minhag number, actually five or six minhagim, but I just want to give you two main minhagim. Minhag number two is your chosem with Hallel HaMitzri, and you don't say the paragraph of Yahallelucha. Right after Hallel HaMitzri, you say Hallel HaGadol. And after Hallel HaGadol, you say Nishmas. And you say Yishtabach. But Yishtabach is not the Chasima. You end the Yishtabach paragraph by simply saying Brachos V'Hoda'os Me'ata v'yad olam. Stop. And then you say the paragraph of Yahallelucha that ends the Hallel, and your Chosem, Baruch atah Hashem, Melech Mehulal Batishbachos, the same way you would be chosem Hallel all the time. So in other words, the minhagim, there are two points of difference between these two minhagim. The major point is the chasima of Hallel before the fourth cup, is it the chasima of Melech Mulo Batishbachos, which is the Hallel chasima? Or is it the chasima of Habocher B'Shirei Zimra, Melech Kael Chei HaOlamim, which is the Yishtabach Chasima, right? So that's a big machlokas. What is your Chasima? And the lesser machlokas is, when do you insert the paragraph of Yahallelucha? Do you insert the paragraph of Yahallelucha after Hallel HaMitzri and you're not Chosem, and the Chasima at the end will be the Chasima of Yishtabach? Or do you not insert Yahallelucha after Hallel HaMitzri? And after you say Yishtabach and you're not Chosem in Yishtabach, you say Yahallelucha and you're Chosem Melech Mulal Batishbachos. I am willing to guess, although it's only a guess, that probably, unless you have the same Haggadahs, probably every year there's going to be a little bit of confusion. And the truth of the matter is, both minhagim are correct, but it's probably good at the table to have one minhag. The minhag of Svardim is largely to be chosem with Yishtabach, the minhag of Ashkenazim is to be chosem with melech mehulal batishbachot, and that in turn will depend on where you insert the Yahalalucha paragraph. Now, the basis of this, again, we don't have time to go into it, be'iyun, but the basis of this is actually a machlokes in the Gemara itself. Because the Mishnah in Arvei Psochim says that on the fourth cup, you say Hallel, and after Hallel, you recite what is called a very unusual formulation that only appears once in the Mishnah. After Hallel, you recite Birkas Hashir, a special bracha of Shira, of singing to Hashem. Right? So it says Beferish that after Hallel, you recite Birkas Hashir. There is a machlokes amayrayim in the Gemara if Birkas Hashir is the Yahalalucha paragraph of Hallel, in which case you would be Chosem Melech Muhulol Batishbachos, or is it Nishmas and Yishtabach that is called Birkas Hashir? Now, let me explain that what we actually do is a compromise. Meaning, this is something you need to understand. The Man D'Amar that says Birchas Hashir is Yahalalucha actually did not say Nishmas Yishtabach at all. Meaning, according to them, when they finished Hallel, they said Yahalalucha and they ended Melech Mehulal Batishbachos. They didn't say Nishmas. They didn't say Yishtabach. Now, the other way around, the one that said Nishmas and Yishtabach didn't say Yahalalucha and Melech Mehulal Batishbachos. These are two different alternatives. But because there is a suffix we paskalite, we do incorporate. See, what we do lahalacha is a compromise position. We say both. We say the Yahalalucha paragraph, and we say Nishmas and Yishtabach. We say both. But the only machlokes in Minhagim is, okay, you're going to say both, but which one is going to be the bracha? Is the bracha going to be the Yahalalucha bracha? Melech Mehulal Batishbachos, which is what Ashkenazim do? Or is the halacha going to be the Yishtabach bracha? Habocher b'shirei zimra. In other words, in the Gemara itself, one opinion only said Yahalalucha Melech Mehulal Batishbachot, and the other one only said Nishmas and Yishtabach Habocher b'shirei zimra. We do both. According to all minhagim today, all minhagim do both, but the machlokes of the minhagim is, if you're gonna do both, which one of the two gets the honor of the chasima of the Baruch Atah Hashem? And that is the source of the two minhagim. Now, the question is this. Where does Hallel HaGadol fit in here? The Mishnah says the following. The Mishnah says you say Hallel HaMitzri, and then you're chosem in Birkas Hashir. Right, you conclude with Birchas Hashir. Birchas Hashir is either Yahalalucha or Nishmas Yishtabach. Okay, we do both. But Hallel HaGadol is not a part of this at all. Hallel HaGadol is not part of Hallel and it's not Birchas Hashir. So the emes is, the way Hallel HaGadol gets into here is a very, very strange thing. The Mishnah goes on and says, that after it tells me on the fourth cup you recite Hallel and you say Birkas Hashir, the Mishnah then quotes a Rabbi Tarfon. Rabbi Tarfon was Rabbi Akiva's colleague. And Rabbi Tarfon says, you're supposed to have a fifth cup, a Kos Chamishi. And on the Kos Chamishi, you recite Hallel HaGadol, which is Kapitel Kuf Chafav, and Yesh Omrim, Mizmor 23, Hashem Roi lo echsar. So Rabbi Tarfon's shita actually is, there is a fifth cup, and on the fifth cup, you recite either Halal HaGadol, which is what we paskin, or Hashem Roi Le'achsor. So the Maharal raises a very strong question. The Maharal says, it is true that Rabbi Tarfon says you have to have a fifth cup. And if you have a fifth cup, you have Halal HaGadol. And the Maharal actually says that although a fifth cup is not mandatory, it's not mandatory, it's not a chiyuv, it actually is considered to be a good thing. Remember, there is a fifth lashon of redemption, I will bring you to Eretz Yisrael. And Maharal says that refers both to Mashiach and to Parnassa generally. And the first four cups are the Geula, and the fifth cup is Parnassa. And that is why you say Halal HaGadol or even Mizmor 23, because Hashem is my shepherd refers to him as Parnassa. But the Maharal says, why on earth should you say it before the fourth cup? Mimanafshach. If you have a fifth cup, you say it on the fifth cup. If you don't have a fifth cup, then why say it at all? Meaning there is no makor to say Halel HaGadol unless you're having a fifth cup. So Mimanafshach, if you're saying Halel HaGadol, you should have a fifth cup. And if you're not having a fifth cup, why should you say Halel HaGadol? So because of this, the Maharal, again, I don't want to confuse you. We don't paskin like the Maharal. You should follow your Haggadahs the way it goes. But the Maharal actually says that if you have a fifth cup, you say Halal HaGadol on the fifth cup after you drank the fourth cup. If you don't have a fifth cup, because you're not Mechoyev, Avada, you're not Mechoyev, then you don't have to say Halal HaGadol at all. But if you want to say it, you can certainly say it. It's a Shevach to Hashem. But, says the Maharal, this is very interesting, even if you're going to say it, which is a good thing, you say it after the fourth cup, not during the fourth cup. And the reason is because Halel HaGadol is an interruption in Halel, because Yahalelucha and Nishmas and Yishtabach are the after brachos of Halel. And in those after brachos of Halel, you shouldn't insert a different type of Halel. Because Halel HaMitzri is the Halel of Geula, and Halel HaGadol is the Halel of Parnassa. So this is Chiddush number one of the Maharal, that Halel HaGadol belongs to a fifth cup. And even if you don't have a fifth cup, you should recite it after the fourth cup, and you should not interpose Halal HaGadol between Halal HaMitzri and Nishmas Yishtabach. The Nishmas Yishtabach should be connected to the afterbrach of Halal HaMitzri, as the Mishnah said. Now, the basis of our minhag is really a very, very dramatic thing that the Rashbam did. The original girsa of the Mishnah was, on the fourth cup, you say Birkas Hashir. And Rabbi Tarfon says, Al Kos Chamishi, Omrim Halel HaGadol, V'yesh Omrim, Hashem Roi, Lo Echsar. So Rabbi Tarfon's girsa was Kos Chamishi. The Rashbam, now remember who the Rashbam is, Rabbi Shmuel ben Meir, is Rashi's grandson. He is the older brother of Rabbi Yaakov ben Meir, who is known as Rabbeinu Tam, because Yaakov is an Ishtam, a perfect person. And the Rashbam wrote many, many commentaries, both on Chumash and on Gemara. And one of his main commentaries is on the chapter Arvei Psochim, which are all the laws of the Seder. And the Rashbam changes the text. The Rashbam changes Kos Chamishi to Kos Revi'i. In other words, Rabbi Tarfon is saying Halal HaGadol is folded into a recitation over the fourth Kos. Now, why did the Rashbam change the Girsa? The Rashbam changed the Girsa because the Rashbam could not conceive of a fifth cup. Chazal speak over and over and over again of only four cups. The Rashbam did not want to assume that Rabbi Tarfon was introducing a fifth cup. So he changes the Girsa to a fourth cup. And hence, that is the basis of what we do, that Halal HaGadol comes at an earlier point before you drink the fourth cup. But the Maharal points out that this is an unwarranted change, and all of the Ga'anim before the Rashbam were gairis in Rabbi Tarfon Kais Chamishi. Yes, we may not paskin like Rabbi Tarfon, but Rabbi Tarfon was saying Kos Chamishi, and therefore Halal HaGadol does not belong to Kais Revi'i. Halal HaGadol belongs to Kais Chamishi. Again, the Maharal's arguments are extremely powerful and compelling. But again, I want to emphasize that we do follow the Rashbam here. And by the way, the Rashbam's propensity for changing girsas, if the Rashbam didn't like a text, he would often propose a change, was severely criticized by his own brother, Rabbeinu Tam. Rabbeinu Tam warned his older brother, stop fooling around with the text. You got to deal with the text the way you receive it. And in fact, it's Yadua that Rabbeinu Tam proposed a cherem, an excommunication, on anyone that changes a text. Meaning if you feel that a text is an error, you make a marginal notation. You don't change the manuscript. You simply write on the side that perhaps this is a suggested text. That's why the Bach, all the Haggos, all of the different textual emendations generally are on the side of the text. The actual text is not changed, even when it's problematic. And that is really from the influence of Rabbeinu Tam. And Rabbeinu Tam, to some degree, was upset at the very common girsa changing of his brother, the Rashbam. So chiddush number one. So again, I want to point out so many interesting chiddushim of Maharal. Chiddush number one is that the Maharal does endorse the drinking of a fifth cup as an optional mitzvah, even though it's not a chiyuv. So he does endorse and even encourage Kos Chamishi. Number two, Halel HaGadol should not be connected to pre-Nishmas and Yishtabach, which makes it part of Halel HaMitzri, but it is what should be recited over a fifth cup. And even if you don't have a fifth cup, there is no chiyuv of even reciting Halal HaGadol, but if you do so, do it after the fourth cup. Okay, that's that. Or the Maharal suggests another alternative. Do it after the bracha of Yishtabach, meaning after you finish the brachos, you could say, if you're not going to have a fifth cup, you could say Halal HaGadol on the fourth cup before you drink it, but it should be after the Birchas Chasima of Halal. And then the Maharal is a third chiddush that's very interesting. The Maharal's third chiddush is that since the purpose of the fifth cup is for parnasa, and parnasa is greater than geula, so this is a very interesting point. The Maharal says the minag of kos chamishi should only be for the balabayas, that is the breadwinner, meaning unlike the other four cups, that's a mitzvah on everybody. The kais for parnasa should only be drunk by the balabayas. So if you incorporate the minug of kos chamishi, the drinking will only be by the primary breadwinner. Now again, I don't want to be a little indelicate here. The Maharal was assuming that the primary breadwinner was a man of the house. In many, many homes, that's lav dafka. So you have an interesting question. Is the Maharal suggesting perhaps that in some homes, the woman should drink the Kos Chamishi rather than her husband? Okay, I'm going to plead the Fifth Amendment on that. I don't know what the moral would say. I assume that it's not nogea for most of you because you probably don't have a fifth cup, so it's not going to come up. But theoretically, you could raise the interesting question, who drinks the fifth cup if the wife is the primary breadwinner in the home? And number four, the moral suggests that the fifth cup should be the kol shel aliyo, that when the Bala Bayis drinks the fifth cup, it should bedafka be the kos of Eliyo Hanavi, because he is not only the harbinger of Mashiach, but he also is a conduit for Parnassa and Shefa into the world. So again, I'm bringing in all of these interesting ideas of the Maral, not because we paskin like them. We, in fact, do not paskin like them, but they do represent an interesting structural understanding of the Haggadah. And in fact, let me mention two more chidushim of the Maral that we do not paskin like. Chidush number one is, the shita of the Maral is, you do recite the bracha before challah. Right? I gave you at the beginning of the shiur, I gave you three reasons why you would not say Asher Kiddushanu b'mitzvosav v'tzivanu likroa t'halel, and of course we do not say it. Maharal actually paskins, why not? Maharal says, if there's a mitzvah to say halel, lel seder, it should have a bracha. So that's why in the Haggadah of the Maharal, where there is a bracha that's printed, there are brackets that say, our minog is not to make a bracha, meaning you're having the Maharal Haggadah, but you're not actually doing what the Maral did. The Maral actually held, you make a bracha on Hallel. That's another chiddush. Now, a sixth chiddush, is that in the whole issue of whether you have the chasima of Yahalalucha, Melech Mehulal Batishbachos, or whether you have the chasima of Yishtabach, right? So, Sfardim are chaysim b'yishtabach. They say Yahalalucha without being chaysim, and they're chaysim b'yishtabach. Ashkenazim go up to the end of yishtabach without the bracha to Hashem. Brachos v'ados me'atav yad olam. Then they say, this is Ashkenazim, then they say Yahalalucha, and they're chaysim melech mulam b'tishbachos. Right? And I mentioned those two minhagim, and different haggadahs will have it a different way. Well, Maharal actually says, you do both chasimas. Here's what the Maral would do. You finish Halal HaMitzri. And when you finish Halal HaMitzri, you say Yahalalucha. And when you say Yahalalucha, you say Melech Mehulo Batishbachos. Then you say Nishmas. And then you say Yishtabach. And then you say Brachos V'ados Mi'atav Yad Olam Baruch Atah Hashem Melech Mehulal, Kel Melech Gadol B'Tishbachos, HaBocher B'Shirei Zimra. And you have two chasimos, two Baruch Atah Hashems. And the Maral says, because they have two different functions. The first Yahalalucha is the after bracha of Hallel. And Nishmas and Yishtabach is a special bracha of Birchas Hashir on the fourth cup. So you have two chasimos. Yahalalucha is the chasima of Hallel. Nishmas and Yishtabach is the Birkas Hashir on the fourth cup. So this is quite an amazing collection of divergence minhagim that the Maral has. The Maral has a bracha rishayna and Hallel. The Maral has a chasima of both Yahalalucha at the end of Hallel and Yishtabach on the fourth cup. The Maral incorporates an optional minug of a kos chamishi. The Maral says Halal HaMitzri should be said on the fifth cup. And even if you don't have a fifth cup, you either say it after the fourth cup or you say it before the fourth cup, but after you said the brachos of Halal. And the kos chamishi should be drunk only by the Bala Bayis, because it is keneged parnasa, and the Bala Bayis is the source of parnasa. We do not follow the Maral on any of these things, but as I say, structurally, I think his comments, I mean, it's not for me to even say this, but his comments reveal a very deep understanding of the Haggadah, our minhag of putting in Halal HaGadol before the fourth cup is based on the Rashbam changing the Gersa of Rabbi Tarfon from Kos Chamishi to Kos Revi. In other words, according to the Rashbam, Kos Chamishi has been eliminated from the Babylonian Talmud. There's only one reference to it, and the Rashbam shoots it down. So according to the Rashbam, there is no such thing as Kos Chamishi, but the Maral points out that the prevailing Gersa of all the Gaonim was that at least Rabbi Tarfon validated the Kos Chamishi. Right, so these are some interesting things to be aware of. And again, when you see the Haggadahs going off in different Nuschaot, I hope at least you'll understand what this is about. Give me just a few more minutes. I just want to say one final thing. We know that the very last song that we sing at the Seder is the very beloved Chad Gadya, about one kid, and it is recorded that a certain Sfardi, mainly started as an Ashkenazic song, and there was a Sfardi that was making fun of the Ashkenazic Chad Gadya by saying it's a children's song, it's a nursery rhyme, and it's trivial, and this person was put in Cheirem because he was Mavaza, a Minag Yisrael. And he went and he complained to his Sephardic Rav. And he said, I was just making fun of trivial things. And the Sephardic Rav says, you deserve to be in Cheirem. Because in all of these Minhagei Yisrael, there are deep and profound remazim that one cannot disparage. And even if we don't say Chad Gadya, you must respect what that minhag is. So literally, there are many, many, many commentaries in Chad Gadya. In just 3 minutes, I just want to run you through a commentary of the Vilna Gaon. Obviously, there's a lot more detail that I'm not going to be able to get into, but let me just have a little remez here. The Vilna Gaon says that all of the Hatzlacha of Klal Yisrael in Ruchnias and Gashmias is because we were Zocha that Yitzchak Avinu gave the brachas to Yaakov. Had Chas V'Shalom Yitzchak Avinu given the brachas to Esav, we would have no Hatzlacha in the world at all. So Baruch Hashem, we were Zeicha to those brachas. What was the mechanism by which Yaakov was able to get the brachas? He prepared two goats. Remember that Rivka told him, make the goats that your father loves and he'll think it's venison and he'll think you're Esav and give you the brachas. So the way the Vilna Gaon says is the following. Chad Gadya, Chad Gadya. That doesn't mean one goat. It means one goat plus another goat. Dizavin Abba betray Zuzan. These were the two coins. This was the currency by which our father Yaakov bought the brachos. That the Chad Gadya, Chad Gadya, one goat plus another goat was the currency that our father bought all of those brachos, which is the basis of our Hatzlacha. The Vilna Gaon says that Yaakov gave those brachas over to Yosef. That's why the word bracha is used. In Moshe Rabbeinu's bracha to Yosef, the word bracha is used over and over again. Yosef was the repository of all of the brachas. Now, it then says, and therefore Yosef is the beneficiary of the goats. Now, a cat is a very jealous animal. Anyone that has cats knows that cats can get jealous of attention given to someone else and the like. So when it says the shunra, the cat, ate the goat, it refers to the jealousy of the brothers in selling Yosef, right? The shunra, the jealousy of the cat, tried to take away the brachos from Yosef by selling him. What happened as a result? The dog bit the cat. The Gra brings a number of psukim that ancient Egypt are called dog, and they're kelef. And Mimela, what happened was that the cat was enslaved by the dog, that is Shibud Mitzrayim. And then what happened was the stick hit the dog. That's a remez to the mata of Moshe Rabbeinu that did all of the makos, right? So the shunra are the brothers who sold Yosef. The kalba is the Shibud Mitzrayim. The chutra, the mate, is the mate of Moshe Rabbeinu that did all the miracles. And the Gra brings midrashim that tell us that the mate came to Eretz Yisrael and it continued to do miracles during the period of the Bayis Rishayim. But then came a fire and burnt the stick. That refers to the fire of Avodah Zarah. That was the main Avera that caused the burning of the Beis HaMikdash. And the Mateh was no longer able to protect us. Fire is both the fire of Avodah Zarah and the fire of the Chorban Bayis Rishon. But after 70 years, the water put out the fire. That refers to the return to Eretz Yisrael and the Anshei Knesset HaGdola who prayed that Hashem should take away the fire of Avodah Zarah so we no longer have that Yetzer Hara. So the water put out the fire is the Anshei Knesset HaGdola that abolished the Yetzer Hara of Avodah Zarah. So that's good. But then came the ox and drank the water. That's called a shor. And that's a remez to the Romans who destroyed the second Beis HaMikdash. Because Esav is called a shor of Tumah, right? The word shor, a wild ox, a wild bull, is used for Esav. And that is the galus that we're still in, the galus of Sinas Chinam. But then comes the Sheichet, who kills the shor. That is Mashiach ben Yosef, who will destroy Amalek. But Mashiach ben Yosef will die in the war of Gog and Magog. And therefore the Malach HaMavis will kill him. But the end of the story is, Hashem will come with Mashiach ben David and destroy death and eventually bring Techiyas HaMesim. And all of the brachos that was given with Chad Gadya with those two goats will come back to the Jewish people. So again, I've gone over this very, very quickly, but I just wanted to have a little bit of a pshat that the song of Chad Gadya is very, very deep, and it alludes to all of the things that happened to Klal Yisrael, culminating in the ultimate redemption and a fulfillment of the pasuk, Bila Hamavas Lanetzach, death will be swallowed forever. Umacha Hashem Elokim Dima Mi'al Kolpanim, and Hashem will erase tears from all faces. So I want to wish you all a Chag Kasher V'Sameach. I hope that you'll be with all of the family that you are hoping to be with. But even if, unfortunately, because of Corona and other situations, you're not always able to be together, I hope you'll be united in spirit. And above all, that you feel the loving presence of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the night of Yetzias Mitzrayim. So Chag Kasher V'Sameach, everybody. Be well. Kol Tov.